Super Bowl on your own private jet. Ladies and gentlemen, a pleasure and always an honor to welcome to the radio Brother Johnny this morning in...
How are you?
Johnny!
Hey, CBJ, we're here in New Orleans, home of the New Orleans Saints.
The home of the New Orleans Saints. Mike Ditka from Connecticut getting ready for Countdown on ESPN tonight. And your commercial you do, Mike, where they have the mini mic. Mike, you're so doggone good on camera, I can't stand it.
Come on, guys. Come on.
I mean it.
Inflated ego here.
I mean, every time the camera goes on, you're unbelievable. Folks, if you've never seen the movie Kicking and Screaming, it's my favorite Will Ferrell movie, and Mike Ditka is unbelievable. Great to have both of you back on. All right, talk about the great NFL games yesterday. Let's begin with the Bears and Broncos. Will people start believing that Tim Tebow's a winner at quarterback, Mike?
You know, I said this a while ago, Steve. It doesn't really matter what you think or I think or anybody else thinks. He knows what he thinks. I think that when you look at football players and you look at people in life, the one factor that stands out to me is not the talent of the individual, but the character of the individual. His character is pretty darn good. His work ethic is outstanding. His discipline is outstanding. Don't ask me why it doesn't happen in the first or second quarter. I don't know, but it does happen. His teammates believe in him. His coaches believe in him. And right now, I don't care who you are, if you're a non-believer or a believer, you got to start saying, wow, you know, this has never happened. This league's been going on for a long time. Guys, this has never happened. Oh, we've had one game comebacks, and we've had heroics in the fourth quarter, the Giants yesterday. A lot of things happen like that. But going week after week after week, another storyline, it has never happened before.
Well, Steve, of course, the Bears, 10 points isn't a lot of points right now, but they almost did it, and I guess they're in trouble now, Steve. What's the Bears' record?
Well, Bears are 7-6. Even if they win the next three, there's no guarantee they'd get in as a wild card at this point. It does not look good for the Chicago Bears' playoff chances. But after the game, they asked Urlacher, they asked Peppers, they asked some really prominent defensive guys. None would come out and say what a good quarterback he is. Urlacher, the closest to a compliment was he's a good running back, to which Tebow said, I really appreciate the nice compliment from a great player. Tebow's a great guy, great for the league. I love it when he's doing this. Six in a row, unbelievable comebacks. It is phenomenal.
You guys can understand, when you're a football team and you get beat by a quarterback who plays the way that Tim does, you say, well, you know, he's not a great quarterback. No, he's not. But, you know, in essence, yeah, he's not Johnny Unitas or Trent Tarkin or this guy or that guy or Elway. But he's a winner.
Yeah.
You know, he's a competitor. He's a winner. He finds ways to get things done. I like that. I really like that in people. I think it's something that we don't understand as much as we should. It's not always the skill set of the individual. Sometimes it's the will set of the individual.
Oh, that's great.
And that's what he has.
Well, I tell you, Steve, talk about great quarterbacks. Drew Brees is a pretty great quarterback down here, and they won again against Tennessee.
Well,
you know,
Tennessee,
you know, Mike, I thought
it was crazy at the end. Oh my gosh!
I thought that the Saints' offense, the first five or six games, and Sean Payton calling the games, Reggie had been traded, and I thought, you know, we had things figured out. And then he broke his leg, and since he's come back, his play, so I have not liked the game plan or the play calls. And we scored 22 yesterday, and a lot of the success is in the second quarter and towards the end of the game, and that's what's been going on. We're not quite optimizing like McCarthy of Green Bay. He's got those guys, I think, where he wants them. He knows what to do. But that play selection is important, and I think what I see McCarthy doing, I don't see him changing. I see the Green Bay Packers doing about the same thing every week. I don't see him trying to overchange to fit the defense. Do you think there's too much coaching going on sometimes? They overthink it, I think.
Well, I don't think there's any question. Sometimes you outthink yourself. I think that's for sure. But I think if you look at what the Saints are doing, John, I'm tremendously impressed because what they do is they play a matchup game. They're not much different than the Patriots or the Packers in the sense that they're going to get the best matchups they can, whether it be with Graham. Now, yesterday, you know, what has happened now? We went through a stat yesterday with Graham and Sproles, how many passes they had caught. They had counted for 12 touchdowns. So what happened yesterday? they don't become the center of attention anymore. Then they go out and they get the ball to Henderson, they get the ball to Foley, they get the ball to Moore, they get the ball. I mean, it's the darndest thing I've ever seen. When you have that many weapons and you have a quarterback who can distribute the football as well as Drew Brees does, you know, the only dilemma the coach has is figuring out which plays you're going to call to get it to who.
Exactly.
Yeah. Amazing. And then last night, Giants Cowboys, remarkable, come from
unbelievable
for Eli Manning. What a great and important win for the Giants. Oh my.
Well, both teams play good. I mean, when you score 34 and you can win, and you know, you got to look at your defense a little bit. That's not a very good defense. I mean, they gave up 15 points in the last 3.5 minutes, and you can't. There's no way you can justify that. I mean, Romo and the Cowboys did everything he could. Romo's taken a lot of criticism. He's played awfully well. They lost a good running back in the game. I mean, the Cowboys did everything except play defense, and they don't have a good defense, guys. They really don't. When you look at it, they got a couple players that play hard every play. They got a couple, but other than that, they don't have cover people.
Well, the other game that New Orleans fans liked was the Arizona Cardinals came back and beat the 49ers.
Yeah, what a win.
And so now the 49ers have to play Pittsburgh, Stevie, and hey.
Well, here's the thing about the 49ers. To me, and I'm going to explain this the best I can from when I started, you're in a learning process. You can't win games with your defense only. You have to score points. You have to be an offense. Now, what Jim has done, Jim runs pretty much a conventional offense. He doesn't get into too many spread sets or 3-4 receiver sets. That's part of football today. You're going to have to do some of that to really put pressure on the defense. And if you don't, the defense is going to be able to dictate to you. So, you know, if you think you can win games by scoring 19, 20, 17, 22, yeah, maybe you can. But if you have to every come up and score 35 to win, it's going to be tough unless you open it up a little bit.
Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka on the radio with us Mondays and Fridays and brought to you by Tim Mooney Ford in Tuscola. 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM. All right, the President of the United States was on 60 Minutes last night. Listen to this.
We did all the right things to prevent a Great Depression and to get the economy growing again and to get job creation going again. But it hasn't made up for the hole that was created in those 6, 9, 12 months before my economic policies took effect. I would be surprised if the American people felt satisfied right now. They shouldn't feel satisfied. We've got a lot more work to do. The contrast in visions between where I want to take the country and where they say they want to take the country is going to be stark. And
there's no question about it. Stark is a good word. Anything you pick up out of that, Johnny?
Stark is right. Stark is where we're headed if Obama keeps it going, because he's just over-governmentalized. Any way you want to define it, there's just too much government in his view, and government doesn't do what he wants it to do. Let's say he wants a better world, but it just can't happen with the way he wants to go about it, which is take more money from the country, the people working in the trenches, and bring it to a place where they can then disperse it and make everything more even. We've tried it, Mike, through the centuries. We've tried a lot of different systems. It's a matter of individual freedom and accountability. That's what works. We've been the only ones able to do it. I remember Monday we talked about the president saying it just doesn't work. Well, it's worked better than any other system that anyone's ever come up with in human history. And it's frustrating to watch the last, really, Steve, to be very honest, it's been the last 20 years since the Ivy League era. We've had four presidents in a row from either Harvard or Yale, Mike. That doesn't seem to be working. We need to get out of that conference. And I think what Gingrich is from Emory, and he went to Tulane. Let's try that. Or maybe we'll get a Fighting Illini, Stevie.
Yeah.
Is there any Illini out there that wants to run?
You're equal opportunity here. You're talking about George Herbert Walker Bush, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama, all Ivy Leaguers.
Harvard or Yale, not just Ivy League.
Harvard or Yale.
So,
I don't, you know, I just think you get to a point now when you're a big boy, you're the President of the United States, you got to get off the blame game somewhere along the way. After being in office for 3 years. We've got to get off the blame game of the former administration. And that was basically a big part of what he did last night. And fine, if that's what he really believes, but I don't think America believes that, because if it did, then his approval rating would be a heck of a lot better than it is. And it's not. So he has not provided any of the answers or any of the solutions. And he then again, when you don't provide solutions, then what's your comeback? Well, the other side won't let.
Yeah.
Of course they won't let you, because what it's going to be bigger government, it's going to be more regulations, it's going to be more taxing, it's going to be more spending. And that's basically what it is. Now, if the other side says, we don't want that, then automatically they're the bad guy. I'm not sure I really understand all that.
And the other side of that, too, Steve, is, maybe it is George Bush's fault. What? Who cares? We need someone that can fix it. I don't want to see a guy sit up there and say, well, this is why we're going down the tubes. He obviously doesn't know what to do about it.
You know, it's unfixable. He inherited this. I mean, the world.
Yeah, exactly.
He made it a better world now. I mean, it's much better now because just think how bad we would have been if he wouldn't have came in.
Right.
Now, he was going to balance the budget, Steve. I think I like some of the things Gingrich is saying as far as action steps, things to do, and that makes sense to me. So that's why I like that approach better. I don't know. Forget about Newt Gingrich or Barack Obama. The thing we've got to understand is that this isn't a popularity contest. We are in serious trouble. We better get somebody that knows more about what they're doing leading us. Even if you don't like him, think about what they may do, because you vote for the nicest-looking, nicest-sounding guy, and we just may not like what we get.
Well,
yeah, John, you're right, but it's not going to work that way. It's going to work just the way you said. You know, the guy that can read off the cue cards and he knows what he's saying and he's going to say all the right things, although there's no substance to them. He's going to say those, and the majority of the people are going to buy it, and that's the problem. So when you talk about what's going on right now, you know, who is the front runner? Gingrich? I don't know. You think he can win? I don't know. You think Romney can win? I don't. I'll be honest with you. I don't know why. I just don't think one of those guys is strong enough to win. I like Perry. I like Kane a lot. I really did. But they bombed Kane out of there, you know, and they're going to find a way to bomb anybody out of there. It's a threat. So, the thing is, if you're going to compete against a guy who is in office, you have to have a candidate that almost intrigues everybody. It's not part of the people, part of the party, all the party. And right now you don't have one that does that.
Is there any way, Johnny, that this upcoming campaign, any way at all, that it can be anything but really, really negative?
Well, they've been negative. There's a stark difference, the president is right, between the direction we want to go. And it doesn't have to be as negative as it's starting out to be, but I think it will be. And I think one of the reasons is because when you don't have facts, you have to start attacking something else. If you can't defend yourself with numbers, facts, and accomplishments, so I don't think the Obama administration has a whole lot of successes to fall on, then you have to attack something else or you're going to lose. So it'll probably be very negative. I think Gingrich is a candidate that has a lot of command of the facts, and that'll make it difficult. Mike, I think one of the Republicans could win. Perry may not be completely out of the running yet, and I think Gingrich could win. But you're right. It's going to be tough. It's going to be close.
Well, if there's one out there that would, and I don't know. I mean, I'm just telling you. I agree with you and Gingrich. But if you think Romney's the answer, I disagree. I don't see any difference there. I see a politician there. That's very what I see. Now, in the same case of Gingrich, yeah, he's been a politician a while. At least there's some common sense there. There was a lot of common sense with Herman Cain. I think Bachman, there's common sense with. I mean, and I understand that she's very, very conservative, but, you know, what's the matter with that? I mean, is conservative any worse than being very, very liberal? I don't understand what's the difference, except probably there are more liberal people than conservative people. But they got to have somebody that really catches the imagination of the American people. And you got to shoot holes in all this stuff that's being said right now, because it is. I mean, a lot of it is really smoke and mirrors.
Well, it's Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka for a few more minutes here on 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM. Mitt Romney offered to bet Rick Perry in the debate Saturday night. The most watched debate, by the way, was on ABC on Saturday night from Des Moines, Iowa. And he offered to bet Rick Perry $10,000 about something Perry was saying about Romney. And the reaction, I guess, afterward was, oh, he's not in touch with how much $10,000 is. And apparently that's still playing this morning. Like, oh, look at that guy bet $10,000. Some people don't make that in a year. And, of course, Rick Perry didn't take the bet. He said, I'm not a betting man. But the whole thing was that he offered to bet that much money.
Yeah, I heard the thing, too. And well, first of all, it's not a, you know, it's a comeback you don't want to make on national TV in a debate. Well, I'll bet you $10,000. Well, wonderful. That's a great comeback for anything. I'll bet you $10,000. I got more money than you. What the hell does that mean?
Well, I think that's talk about not in touch with the American people. I mean, for the media to jump on $10,000, yeah, that's a lot of money, Steve. They just blew about $5 trillion. What are you talking about? You're going to complain about someone saying they'll bet you $10,000? You got to be kidding me. I mean,
you're right there, John. You're right.
It's like, you know, my question is, how dumb do they really think we are? It's dumb. It's really dumb. But how dumb do they think we are, Steve? It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's we're assumed to be fairly low intelligence. That's all I got to tell you.
All right. Finally, college basketball, some great games over the weekend, but the Cincinnati Xavier got ugly at the end of that ball game with a real melee, a real brawl. It was ugly. I don't know if any of you guys saw that, but it was bad stuff at the end of that game.
Well, I heard. Oh, and
you guys are subs. They're subs. I don't care what they're doing. You can call. You're going to call them academic athletes? Come on. Stop it. You know, these are thugs. And they're playing, and suddenly they got a mentality like that. They taunt each other. All of a sudden, the tempers are short. Bang, somebody throws a punch. Now, I saw this is some of the suspensions by the schools, which were pretty significant, especially on the part of both schools, actually. They were pretty significant, six games, this and that. I don't know. I think that almost you say, hey, listen, you know, you get in life what you tolerate. Here's what I say, guys. Thanks, but no thanks. We'll get a scholarship somewhere else.
Yeah, and the Cincinnati coach, Johnny, he came out after the game. I thought he was terrific. The Cincinnati coach, who's his guys were definitely worse than the Xavier guys, but he said, you know, I can't believe this happened. I hope the president doesn't ask for my resignation. I made him take all their jerseys off. I don't know who's going to be a Bearcat anymore. We're going to kick them all off. I mean, he was really, I thought, great.
Well, it is. It's embarrassing because, it's become about, it's almost become less and less about sport, and the talent you have on the court is then like it's almost like a gang thing. You know, this is my territory, and this and that, and this and that, and I'm comforting you. And I'm not sure I buy into all this stuff.
Well, and the Xavier guy, I didn't like the way the Xavier guy talked about, you do this in my neighborhood, and you.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, that was
terrible. It sounded like a gang thing. There's no question. It really did.
Well, there's a pressure to win, and sometimes just gets out of hand.
Yeah.
I mean, you start through the game, and somebody's doing something to make you mad. I'll tell you what, I've been mad when I've been playing sports, but you can't get to the point where they did what they were doing, and it's a shame, Steve. And,
yeah.
And hopefully, they'll learn something from it, those kids, and it'll be turn into a positive for the rest of their life. But that was a pretty negative deal.
All right, finally, the drone in Iran. Is there anything we can do? We're seeing the pictures of our drone captured by Iran. All that technology, what do we do? I mean, what can you do?
Well, they have pretty much that technology anyways, or close to it. What can you do? You can't do anything. You know, we sent it over there. It was on a spy mission for us. Didn't work out. They got it. If they sent one over here and we got it, we wouldn't give it back. I mean, you got to be realistic about this thing. This is, you're not playing tinker toys now. You're playing, this is pretty pretty big stuff right now. So why? What would be their obligation to give anything back?
No, I mean, they can get a lot out of that drone, but I think I would assume there was a self-destruct mechanism.
Yeah, I don't understand
that probably
that.
Didn't work, that's all you can do. It's better than having a guy out there flying around. I like the drone technology, but yeah, they're gonna find out some stuff from that. But that's like Mike said, that's part of it, Stevie, and I like taking as many humans out of the, quote, game as you can, but it's not a game. So you can't do much about it. This thing has to blow up. When it crashes, it has to blow up, Steve.
Well, gentlemen, we'll watch Mike Ditka, Johnny, tonight on the countdown. Always again.
Well, let me. Now, what's the Monday night matchup, Mike?
Stop it. Stop it.
St. Louis.
St. Louis and Seattle.
Yeah, well, that's not a great matchup.
Sorry.
Wait a second. That's one of the big games in the NFL, guys.
Well, let me tell you something.
St. Louis beat New Orleans, right, John?
They beat us like a drum. That wasn't a fluke. They beat us. But I want to watch that game. I want to see just how they – I want to see St. Louis play one more game like they did against New Orleans. It'll make me feel a lot better if they play one more game like that, Stevie, because they were great the day we played them.
Well, listen, we'll catch up Friday. Mike, thank you. Thank you so much, Johnny.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks,
bless
guys.
Bless you. Thank you so much. Brother Johnny in New Orleans, Louisiana. Mike Ditka live in Bristol, Connecticut, head of ESPN tonight. He's on the countdown tonight. Watch him at 6 o'clock local time. Mike Ditka on ESPN on the countdown. And every Monday and Friday from 7:30 to 8. Here on 93.5, 95.3, The Connect FM.